Hello, friends. Thank you so much for listening to our Hope Canteen podcast, where we look to one of the upcoming Sunday readings for insight into our walk with Christ. This is our 37th episode. My name is Stephen London, joined as always by Stephanie London and Michael Rolfe, all of us clergy in the Anglican Diocese of Edmonton. So great to have you joining me today. Just wondering how you're doing.
I'm doing well, but as we were saying before we got started, it's getting harder and harder to know what day it is. It's a lot of kind of the same stuff, and I'm never quite sure if it's Saturday or Friday.
We just had our daughter again be quarantined because of school stuff. She's not herself sick, I think, but she has to stay here. And somebody asked us if we had to, and we said, no, the rules don't apply to that. But it was kind of a realization this morning that if we did have to quarantine, our life would change very minimally from what we're actually doing currently. So it's again, like we said last week, the Groundhog Day, the same thing over and over and over and over again.
And we're in the same boat. We feel the same way. We don't know what, we're not sure what day it is. In fact, just this morning, we've made a decision to at least try and get some routine into our lives that will keep us on track, because it's too easy to just sort of drift along and just go from day to day to day. So yeah, we're working on it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great point, Michael, that we're all struggling with this. And I hear this now from more and more people that, So in that, we will turn to scripture, because of course, what one thing we can do in this day in and day out is focus on our spiritual lives, putting God back at the center. So we're going to look again at the Gospel of Mark. In today's podcast, we are still looking, like we did last week, at this early part of Jesus' ministry. And if you wish to read the section for Sunday before we really get into the podcast, you can pause the podcast here and turn to Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. The setting, again, is the same as last week, the small fishing village of Capernaum on the shores of the Lake of Galilee. This village is the site of so much of Jesus' early ministry. And in this passage, a lot happens very quickly. First, he heals Peter's mother-in-law. Then we see people pouring into Capernaum for healing. Then we see Jesus going off to a deserted place to pray. Then Peter searches Jesus out to remind him, there's a lot of people looking for you, Jesus. And then Jesus tells Peter that it isn't going to be just a local affair. This is going to be much bigger than Peter thinks. Jesus is going to all of the neighboring towns to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And again, though it seems like a very short passage, there is a lot to talk about. So grateful, Michael and Stephanie, that you're here once again for the 37th time, I guess, to talk about scripture. So what stood out to you in today's reading?
What I noticed was this unfolding of revelation, an unfolding of Jesus' ministry over the course of this first chapter. It feels like we've been spending quite a bit of time in this first chapter, actually. And it starts with Jesus teaching with authority. And then from there, he casts out demons. And then this is the first healing, physical healing, that he does in the Gospel of Mark. We're gradually seeing more and more of what he's about. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just this spiritual authority. And now he's able to deal with this fever that Peter's mother-in-law has. And people are starting to realize, I guess, more and more how incredible he is, but also more and more what his mission is, that it's going to be broader and it's going to extend to all these different areas.
Of course, last week we heard of the healing of the man who had an unclean spirit, which we might see as mental health healing. But now here he is dealing with a physical ailment. I'm struck by the fact that he takes her by the hand. I think holding her hand, the element of touch in the healing is so important.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out, because that seems to be a pretty important part of Jesus' ministry, touching people that other people wouldn't touch, touching people to lift them out of their sick bed. Mm-hmm. It's an important quality.
Well, and we have to say it's so important. I think that is what, in this time of COVID, people are missing the most, or a lot of people are missing the most, especially if they're living on their own. I hear this quite a bit, because one of the things at St. Thomas, at least in the peace that we spread was always, it wasn't just a polite handshake. It was a polite handshake, but other people would hug and they would mill around and they would, they would connect with a vast number of people. I was a bit shocked when I first came to St. Thomas, how elaborate the peace, how chaotic it was. And in some ways, I wonder if that's one of the things that we're missing the most, is just that touch.
When I was doing hospital ministry, I was thinking the other day that I anointed more people in the course of 3 years of ministry there than I had ever done in my ministry leading up to that, because it became such an obvious way to at least bring peace to people's lives temporarily, those who were sick. And now, because of COVID-19, I'm not sure how we would handle that. It would be awkward, and rubber gloves and all of that stuff.
It's not quite the same, is it?
No.
Well, as a matter of fact, I mean, that's the big question coming up on Ash Wednesday. I have to say Ash Wednesday is always one of the most meaningful services and always one of the saddest for me in this sense. I love it that all the people come forward and I anoint their foreheads with ashes. And I feel there's just this deep connection. What makes me sad about it, of course, is that when I'm standing at the altar and I'm looking over all these people who have these ashes, and it's a proclamation of our mortality, and that I see all these people that I love so much, and that, of course, we're saying we need to be prepared that all of us are going to die. One day, none of us will be here. And so those two messages together, but I am going to miss Ash Wednesday. When I advertised Ash Wednesday in the newsletter today, I put it in quotation marks, Ash Wednesday. In fact, there won't be this imposition of ashes. Yeah. So that we still have the deeper spiritual truth, but we don't have that physical touch.
Just on the same vein, and to a greater extent, I as a priest, when we have the Eucharist and I take the host and I place it in people's hands, there's a connection there at that moment too, which just disappeared when we had to play by different rules. And yet that connection is an important part of the relationship that I as a priest have with the people who have come to receive the sacrament. It's all about touch.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the sadnesses not having the Eucharist, is that it's one of those things that we worship a God that we can't see, but the Eucharist is a way, in a sense, that you can touch God. It's some kind of physical receiving of a gift from God. And without the Eucharist, in this long, long extended fast from it, we have to find that in other ways, or we have to grieve it, and it's difficult.
I'm going to be spending some time now, I realize, contemplating the fact that in Christ, God came to connect with people in some way. Symbolically, in a little way, we've sort of removed God a little bit from the people, from that connection, and I need to think about that.
I really see that in this passage with the people pressing in on the door of the place where Jesus is. He's made such an impression on them that they want some kind of connection with him. And in fact, I think that's part of why he goes to neighboring towns, because he's saying, you can't own me. I can't be your pet prophet. But there's a bigger vision and a bigger mission going on. But but people are really, really looking for that connection with him.
I love that phrase, pet prophet. Where do I buy one?
I think it's just in human nature to try to find them.
And, you know, this really strikes me as we read scripture, that given where we are in different times, we look at different things. Different things stand out. Michael, you had mentioned that idea that he had taken Peter's mother-in-law by the hand. And so we started reflecting on touch. And I'll confess, I don't know that I'd ever noticed that detail before. But now, because we're in this time of COVID, that detail stands out now, you know, in a bit of a blazing fire, in the way that it hasn't stood out in the past. And I sort of see those moments in a Lectio Divina kind of way, that that God is calling us to reflect on this truth of how important touch is, and how, you know, we read about it in morning prayer when Jesus, he does some odd things, right? When people are blind, he actually touches their eyes, you know, so that touch is interesting. And it also reminds me, sorry, now I'm going to roll. I'll try to end quickly. But
no, go for it.
You know, for Jesus, healing is not just because he's a nice guy and he wants to be a doctor. I mean, he is a nice guy and he does want to heal people, but we have to remember these are always signs of something much bigger, the spiritual reality of the kingdom of God breaking in. And I think in COVID, we would see even just touch as a breaking in of the grace of God. And I wrote a little bit about that today in the Hope Canteen, these moments that we have often taken for granted, the handshake, the hug, the gift of just yourself that you give to people. I think God is encouraging us not to take these for granted anymore, but to really see the deep significance.
Kingdom of God is at hand, said Jesus.
And yeah.
In that very week.
That is true.
And in the people around us. Another thing I noticed, which I guess is sort of the opposite of touch, is that Jesus makes a point of, after all, he's dealt with all these crowds, he's healed them, he's cast out demons, he's done all these things with them. He takes time away early the next morning, and they're still trying to get to him, and they're still trying to find him. But he carves out space for himself to be alone and to pray.
Well, but I think thank you, Stephanie, for pointing that out. I think those are the two poles between which our spiritual life flows back and forth. Individual desert time with God and time in community showing love. And I think what's really interesting about that is, you know, for a whole healthy spiritual soul, we absolutely need both.
In another couple of weeks, we'll be encouraging people, ourselves, to step back, to take a break, to reconnect with Jesus through the season of Lent.
And actually, probably starting next week, we'll start looking at Lent, because of course next week is the Transfiguration, which then brings us into Lent. And I think we'll have some good podcasts helping people to do that. But I think one of the dynamics of Lent this year that's going to be a little bit awkward is people have already been withdrawn now for quite some time. I think the joke at the end of last Lent was, this is the lentiest Lent we ever lented. Now it's even more
lentiest Lent. I don't even know what the superlative of that is.
It is just kept going. So we've been reluctant to pile on, you know, kind of spiritual disciplines, because in one sense, people have been doing the discipline of stepping away for quite some time now.
Yes.
But you know, it also reminds me of the Old Testament had these repeating rhythms. So there was a rhythm of rest once a week in the Sabbath, but then there were times set aside within the year that were reset times. And then times, I'm thinking of the Jubilee year, you know, after decades, there was this reset. And I think this year is, in a sense, reflecting those smaller resets that are just part of our regular rhythm, but this is a big one. It's like a big breath. It may be a once in a lifetime breath for us, but it's something that allows us to reset and reconnect with God.
So that's a good note, I think, too, as we come to the end of our podcast. As always, we look into the reading and ask the question, what is it that maybe we can take this week going into our week in this time of COVID, this ongoing Groundhog Day that we're experiencing? So I'm just curious, what would you take from this passage? I think for me, it goes to what Stephanie was talking about with Jesus going into the deserted place. In some sense, I have found that I've always believed this, but you can always go deeper in kind of the basic things that you understand. And I think that idea of a few times a day, stepping apart and spending time with God, while this time has been weighing on me simultaneously, it has been for me personally a time of spiritual renewal. And I think taking these desert times and really being intentional about them through the course of the day has just been a blessing for me. And so I meditate on that a lot. I guess when I wish that when Mark was writing, he was more of a contemporary novelist, and he spent some time describing what Jesus was doing in the desert time. But given that this is ancient biography, we just get about five words and have to be content with that. But going into the deserted place, I think that's been important for me.
That part stuck out to me too, but I still feel it catching on my many, many years of parenting small people. In a sense, I think there are seasons in our life when we just have to be creative with how that desert time happens. Maybe it happens in shorter bursts, or maybe it doesn't happen physically separated, or maybe in times like now it happens in much greater amounts than we would like. But I think there's room for some creativity in how that desert happens.
For me, it goes back to what I was saying at the beginning about the need for some order in our lives, because we're wandering in the wilderness, and it's a reminder that Jesus is always with us, even in the wandering times. But it's still this calling out for a need for his touch in a special way.
Well, thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. We enjoy making these and enjoy having these conversations, and would love to hear what you have to say about any of these topics that we are talking about, or to be honest, anything else. Just put them in the comments below in the Hope Canteen website. Until next time, next week we are talking, I think, about the Transfiguration, and then we will head towards Lent. Anyway, till then, God bless, and see you next week.
Take care.
Bye for now.